The title of my sermon is Help My Unbelief. Help My Unbelief. Does that resonate with anybody? Help My Unbelief. And I've mentioned the text lots of times, but I've never had preached on this text, I don't think. Help My Unbelief. And so it's over in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. I will not go to the context of all these verses. If I did, we'd be here all night. So I'm just going to read some verses. But pay attention, and I want this to have an effect on us. Help My Unbelief. This is a man over in Mark 9, 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. This man was emotional about this. We ought to be emotional about it too. We ought to be emotional about this. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I think most of God's children can identify that. Lord, I do believe. I know I believe in God. I know I believe in His promises. But God, help my unbelief. I'm aware there's a lot of unbelief there too. That's a good prayer. Now, I'm going to give some good news first. Good news first. The good news is your faith, and by the way, faith and belief is the same thing. In the Greek, pistuo means I believe. Pistis is faith, and pistos is faithful. It's the same word family. Faith and belief is the verb, and faith is the noun, or belief, you know, that's the noun too. They're synonyms. And let me tell you, you kids listen to me about this. Faith is what God gives you when you're born again. You don't just exercise faith that you hadn't got. Some people say, well, if you just have faith, you can be saved. That's impossible. You don't have faith till you are saved. Do y'all hear what I said? You better remember that, Chloe, rest of your life. God gives you faith. It's a sovereign gift of God Almighty. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. You don't have faith till God gives you faith. Sister Sandra loves the doctrine of the immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. That means the Holy Ghost bores you again without even the preached word of God. Then the word of God means something to you. And here with her son just got killed. And we're sitting there with her the other morning, late in the early morning hours. She said, thank you, Brother Zach and Brother Isaac, for preaching Holy Spirit regeneration. I said, Sister Sandra, if I preach that every Sunday, you'll like it. Well, she said, I sure would. Because you give God all the glory. So if you can believe in the Lord, because God blessed you to believe in Him, it's a sovereign gift of God Almighty. And here's the good news. You'll never lose your faith. I'm going to preach about that tonight. This man had faith. Lord, I believe. Have my unbelief. Here's the good news. Let's go to several scriptures. I'm going to give you lots of scriptures. If you want the list, I'll give them to you later. But let's just look at this. If you have faith, don't worry. You'll always have faith. You're going to always have faith. Now, it may be weak. Sometimes it may seem like you haven't got faith when troubles come, but you'll have faith. This is going to fit in, I think, with Isaac's sermon this morning. It's like having a sixth sense, isn't it? It's enduring as him, see him who is invisible. It's what Isaac said today. It's invisible. We don't walk by sight, by the things that are happening around about us. We walk by faith, which locks in on the promises of God, and only a born-again child of God can do that. We see what's unseen. And those things are more real than the things we see by His words. I can't get all the text, or we'd be here all night. 1 John 5:4. Let's look at this. My subtext is now, good news first. Here's the good news first. Ready? 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever, I could say whosoever, whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. You're overcoming the world, even if you don't think you're overcoming the world. I can't talk about what it means to overcome the world right now. But the world's not going to overcome you. It'll harass you. It'll try to crush you. Like I said today, try to crush Sister Sandra and doubt God's promises. And we may have some doubts sometimes, but they won't be permanent doubts. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, overcometh the world, even your faith. Isn't that great? 1 Peter 1:5, I didn't quote that this morning. For kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. As you know, I'm hoping to preach through 1 Peter pretty soon. It's a context of persecution, and these people, he said, you're going to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, why is your faith not going to fail? I'll tell you why it's not going to fail. You have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, who's praying for you. I'll review the verse. You know where I'm going to look, you Bible readers. The Lord told Peter, said, Peter, Satan desires to sift your wheat. He does you too. Satan desires to sift your wheat. He wants you to doubt God. He wants Sister Sandra to doubt God. He wants you to doubt God. We live in times when the news is bad, almost all of it right now is bad. So we are in danger of the devil trying to crush us. And so the devil likes to sift us as wheat. See, and he worked on old Peter more than he'll work on us. He gave Peter his personal attention. He doesn't always do it. He got a lot of demons. But hear what Jesus Christ told Peter. Hallelujah. Over in Luke 22:32. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and not if when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter had a lack of faith, but not a failure of faith. You'll have lapses, but not failures. I promise you that. That's why I believe in the perseverance of the saints. Some old Baptists doubt. Why in the world some old Baptists don't emphasize the perseverance of the saints? I'm not talking about work salvation. I'm talking about God's grace He gives us that we persevere. Because He preserves us. Your faith ain't going to fail. Remember that next time you get down. Say, Lord, stir it up. Stir it up. I know it's in there. If He had begun a good work in you, He'll perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He began the good work in you when you were born again. In you, before you were born again, when you were born again. Isn't that good news? That's the good news. Now I want to get to another topic. I could spend all day on this, but I won't. I've just got 3 verses. I could multiply this probably 10 times. Please pay attention to me. The Lord is pleased we have strong faith. So you ought to want to have strong faith to please the Lord. I'm going to give you only 3 texts. But I can multiply this. You can do it if you read your Gospels. Jesus Christ is pleased when His people exercise strong faith. Let's look at that. 3 texts on this. He's pleased with strong faith. All right, let's look at these. I'm not going to go with context. If I did, we'd take all night. This is a man who exercised strong faith over in Matthew 8:10. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not unto Israel. He is pleased with that man's faith. Look the context up if you want to. I'm not going to take time to go to it. But as a man, as a God man, He marveled. Wouldn't it be good if He marveled at our faith? It's like saying, wow, look at that faith. Christ is saying that in a way. I know He's the God man. He marveled. Look at that faith. That's what we do when we saw Sister Sandra. We marvel. Look at that faith. We see old Joe. We marvel. We all marvel. Hallelujah, man. And David Powell says this. He's right. He preached Bernie Stanley at a funeral. He said, we Christians, and he talked to him the other day, we need to be right now in these times of darkness. We need to be cheerful people. He called Sister Helen a joy generator. There's some other people he knew. Joy generator. We need some generators generating joy. My friend, this is the time we need to not be in despair no matter what happens in our country. Because we have a better country and God takes care of us even now in this country. People ought to marvel at our faith. Wow, look at there. How in the world can they behave themselves that way with all the things happening to them? All right, another place, and over in Matthew 9:2. This is when they brought the man that was sick. And they would not take no for an answer. That's what faith, brothers and sisters, does not take no for an answer. That's not being presumptuous. That's just the way it works. Faith does, and eventually will not take no for an answer. These men brought a friend of theirs to Jesus Christ because they knew it's the only place they could find help. And they could not get in because the crowd was so big. So they did not give up. Hallelujah. We give up sometimes too easy. They said, no, we got to find a way to get them to Jesus Christ. They're desperate. That's how we ought to be in prayer for people sometimes. You know it. And so what they did, they took him up on the roof and tore a hole in the roof and let him down into the presence of Jesus Christ. And hear what it says in Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sin be forgiven thee. Isn't that great? He saw their faith, not that guy's faith. My daddy one time, he finally died of congestive heart failure. But maybe a year or two before he actually died of congestive heart failure, he had an attack one night. And I wasn't there that night. My sisters were there. So later on, he went to the hospital. I said, Dad, I bet, man, while you were gasping for breath. You did a lot of praying. He said, I couldn't pray, son. I just think about getting the next breath. He said, but the girl for praying for me, that meant everything to me. Sometimes we get so weak, maybe not be able to pray for ourselves. You know that? We may be hurting so bad with pain or something like that, we can't even pray. Some desperate thing may happen. We may not be able to pray, except maybe instinctively. But my friend, we thank God those people around us who are praying for us. Because our effectual, fervent prayer of our righteous man availeth much. We need to pray for each other. Lord, I need those, the prayers of those I love, the song says. He saw their faith, and he got that man healed. Hallelujah. All right. And then another one. This is a Syrophoenician woman. Boy, I love to think about her, but we don't have time to fool with her because she was so great. There's several verses about her. She really would not take no for an answer. I've got a daughter here who's really in trouble. The disciple said, get out of here. You're a Gentile. You old Gentile, you ain't got a right to come around here. You ever feel like an old Gentile? Old devil say, hey, what are you doing here? You messed up last week. You messed up a while ago. You got mad at your wife a while ago. You can't pray. That's when y'all start praying really then. You goofed off. You had a nasty thought. You had a lustful thought. You can't pray. That's when you need to start praying. Isn't it? There's never a time a child of God is inappropriate for him to come to God in prayer. You hear what I said? There's never a time it's inappropriate for a child of God to come to him in prayer. Never. So this woman wouldn't take no for an answer. She was so, and faith gives you skill you didn't know you had. Look at Abraham arguing for Lot in the city of Sodom. He just knew how to pray. He knew when to pick up. He knew when to shut up. I'm convinced he knew when to shut up. He came out of 10 times to quit. I believe he had great skill in prayer. God gives you skill in prayer. So this woman said, you know, she even said, even Jesus Christ encouraged her. He did it on purpose. She said, Lord, he said, listen, it's not meat to take the children's bread, the juice, and give it to dogs. You say, uh-oh, well, I guess I got to go away. Not this woman. You know why? Because she had faith that God put in there. She said, Lord, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. And here's what he said in Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that wonderful? Now, so I said there, that's one of my subheadings, that Jesus Christ is pleased with great faith. Conversely, he's displeased when we don't exercise the faith we ought to exercise. So do you want to displease God? I hope not. Let's read three of those. And I can multiply all these, like I say. You maybe want to do this. Here's his own disciples. And they get scared to death because the winds and the waves come up. And the winds and the waves come up in our lives too. And they got afraid. And see, he told them, let's go to the other side. Now, you don't do like charismatics and just manufacture something. You don't have enough faith to get a pink Cadillac. I wouldn't want a pink one anyway if I had one. But you don't still manufacture pink Cadillacs and stuff. You don't just jerk something out and create stuff. Your faith is based on God's word. So he told them, let's go to the other side. So they should have said, well, we'll go to the other side. But the winds and waves came up. So then over in Matthew 8, this is his disciple. He loved these men very much. And he said to them, why are you fearful, or you have little faith? He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But he rebuked them. My friend Jesus Christ rebuked them, the ones he loves. And then let's look at a couple more. And this is strong language. Jesus doesn't like it when we don't exercise faith. He doesn't like that. So you ought to want to do it. This is Mark 16:14. This is after his resurrection. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat and upbraided them. How about that for a strong word? Upbraided them, their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. See, he had told them, I'm going to rise from the dead. They had the word of God. But they didn't believe Peter. They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe it. No, we don't believe it. That's impossible. So Jesus upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart. And then the last one I give here, this is Peter, who said, Lord, Peter, we don't need to be running Peter down too much. He's a great man. I'm going to preach about him. He made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of right stuff, too. He's the only one who said, hey, Lord, let me walk on the water. The rest of them didn't do that. He did. And he walked on there for a while, too. Then he began to sink. So over in Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He doesn't want us doubting. I doubt a lot, but I don't want to. I want to do better. I want to do better. Now, I'm going to give some practical applications. I probably won't take as long as you think I'm going to. I want to preach this sermon and get through with it. I want the Lord to preach this sermon to you. I want it to have some practical effect, what I want. You see what I've already said. Now, give the good news, your faith won't fail. I told you Jesus is pleased with great faith. He's displeased with little faith, right? Now let's get to some practical applications. Okay, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What are you going to do about that? Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do about it. I got three things, and I'll be through probably, just about. But I want to talk about some reality before I quit. I want to pray before the rubber meets the road. All right, number one is prayer. Luke 17:5. I'm going to read two sermons tonight, Lord willing, based on this verse. One by John Gill. And one by J.C. Philpott, I think it was. I forgot who it was now, but it's a good sermon. And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." That's a good prayer. Increase our faith. Next time you can start praying this week, "God, increase my faith." That's a good prayer. These men who walk with God did that. We, even more so, probably should we increase our faith. So prayer, that sounds simple? It is simple. But it's one answer to increase our faith. What's another way? I'm going to show you. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. That word cometh there is in italics. The King James Bible is not in the Greek. But it's okay. The King James guy did a good job. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The next thing is being God's Word. That's not a gospel regeneration verse. There are no gospel regeneration verses in the Bible. I'll preach that to you sometime. Faith comes forth. It's manifested by hearing. See, if you have faith, it's in here. But sometimes it doesn't show. But that life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. I'd like to give you Romans 10 sometimes. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Faith by hearing. So I'm telling you this. You need to listen to me about this. Some of y'all don't read your Bibles, I'm afraid. I mentioned this not long ago. Two young sisters, not here tonight even, we had supper with Judy and myself, and they admitted to me they weren't reading their Bibles. Not even reading their Bibles. Members of the church. I'm worried about them. I'm trying to encourage them. Are you reading your Bible? I'm going to start asking you that. I'm not in your face. I want to ask you. Are you reading your Bibles? Are you reading just too fast and you're just kind of getting the job done or what? Are you trying to do better? You can't have strong faith unless you are in God's Word, because faith believes God's Word. You'll be amazed when you feel weak, start reading the Scriptures, and you find strength flowing into your soul. You find it's the Word of God applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Are you reading your Bibles? Young people, middle-aged people, old folks, read your Bibles. Don't only just read. That's better than nothing. We got to do that. But listen, you need to read the Bible. You need to memorize the Word of God. Some, you ought to do some anyway. I know you think that I talk about that too much, but I don't. I know I don't. I wish I'd memorized more. Meditate on the Word of God. Think on the Word of God. Run through your mind. Chew on the Word of God. Get some sweetness out of the Word of God. Ask God to give you golden nuggets from His holy word. And then you need, my friend, to obey the word of God. We don't need to be like the foolish man. We need to be like the wise man. See, both those individuals in the book of Matthew heard the word of God, but one group performed it and one group did not. And God told them that the ones who performed it are like the wise man who built his house on a rock. The one who heard it and did not obey it, like the foolish man who built their house on the sand. So we need to be obedient to God's word. And then what do we need? We need to spread the word of God by telling others about it. Listen, folks, you know who we are right now? We Christians, it's always been this way, but it's becoming more and more apparent in this culture we live in. We're in a subculture. Do you know that? You know, even professed Christians, and most of them are not true Christians probably, professed Christians in the United States now, down to 65%. That's kind of shocking. The people even profess Christianity, or that's to include Roman Catholics. 65%. No wonder we're in the shape we're in. And the younger generation is getting worse all the time. They're the nuns, N-O-N-E-S's. We don't have any religion whatsoever. That's why we vote the way we do. That's why we can vote in homosexual lovers and abortion, baby killers, stuff like that. This simply, it's not just politics. The values are not there. So we need to be what? Salt and light. What kind of light do we have? The light of God's Word. Not butthole people, but always ready to give an answer when that opportunity comes. And they will come. But hating like we should and not being devastated by things that happen like this, such as Sandra. Isn't that amazing? We need to be light. My friend, we need to be salt. Salt does two things, by the way. It preserves. You know, used to, before they had refrigerators and stuff, you had to, Papa used to salt down his meat in the smokehouse. I used to be a lot of fun to go up there and watch Papa smoke that meat and put salt on that meat. That salt pork is good stuff. That's made, I don't heard good for you, though, but sure is good. And that's the best bacon you'll ever eat, probably. Anyway, though, see, we preserve. What do you mean? Well, listen, our society is rotten to the core. But when you're around somebody, you can preserve that place where you're at. Even your workplace. You know, Nathan, I'll give him a little credit right now. And I charged Scarlett the other day, going off to Itawamba Junior College. And so Nathan, I'm not bragging, I'm just bragging on God. He went down to, as you know, play for Crichton College. And he's the only guy I think on the basketball team had any morals whatsoever. Some of them are worse than others. These guys would go off on a trip and some of them would sneak out and go to a strip club, stuff like that. They would cuss like a sailor. And old Nathan, he was not self-righteous. They loved Nathan. But he lived a consistent life. And when he left there, I heard guys say, Nate, wish we lived like you live. Wish we lived like you live, Nate. And who knows, that God Almighty may let that stay in their heart and it may have some seed been sown, bring forth some fruit even later on in their lives. We need to be salt. But not only does salt preserve, salt flavors. When you're around a bunch of ungodly people who are just cussing all the time and just blaspheming God and all that, that stinks. It doesn't taste good. You get a good old Christian, and maybe just then there, it's just better, isn't it? There's something about that. That sounds better. I think it's kind of more pleasant around here. We need to be salt and light. We've got to be in God's Word to do that. Okay, so two things so far. We've got to be in God's Word, and we got to pray if we want our faith to increase. Number three is we've got to walk in fellowship with God. We must walk in fellowship with God. I'll give you a verse on that. We have to walk in fellowship with God. That means we get to obey God and live like God wants us to live. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So here's the verse. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's consciously cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that great? So try to walk with God. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me give those again. This is the practical part I wanted. How am I going to say, Lord, increase my faith? The Lord, help my unbelief. Well, I got to pray. I got to read my Bible, stay in the Bible. I got to walk in fellowship with God. Another thing could be said, couldn't it? Like being in church. Don't you feel stronger being here? I do. I heard a guy from today, man, put iron in my blood. I see your faces, I believe, know you love God, hear you sing those songs, puts iron in my blood. Thank you. Why did you say Sandra came today? She wanted to love God, but also get a little iron in her blood. So forsake not the assembly of yourself together. Be around God's people. Have fellowship with God's people. Now I'm going to get down to what I'm calling reality. Okay, brothers, that all stuff all sounds good. It sounds good. So that means I can just go around here, I can pray like you said, I can read my Bible, I can have fellowship with God, I can always just be strong, never have a weak spell. No, that's not reality. Even what I've said is true, I take not one word back, not one word back, but I'm telling you, we will still have ups and downs. You need to know that. Because if you don't know that, you'll have a down sometime. You say, uh-oh, you'll be devastated. Don't be devastated. That's the way it goes. I've been living a long time now. I'm telling you, not only from the Bible, but from experience, we have ups and downs. Our forefathers who wrote our songs knew that. That's why we have a book, song book full of good experiences. Mysteries of joy and sorrow, our daily do pass through. Right? Mysteries of joy and sorrow. There may be times you don't feel God's presence. There may be times you'll be weaker in faith. But don't despair. Let's look at two characters in the Bible who sometimes had amazing faith. But they also had leftovers of faith. I hadn't mentioned one this morning, Job. Let's look at a strong point in Job's life. Mama, Jeannie and I are right now reading through the Bible, and so I try to be reading through Job. It's an amazing book. Job had some amazing faith at times, didn't he? We cannot imagine what he went through. We just really can't imagine that. We can't imagine that. We can't imagine it. Just think a minute. This is a real genuine individual. He's a very wealthy man, very well-respected man. Had a great big family. Isn't it good to have a bunch of kids? Sister Sandra had 5 boys. Robert gets shot by a gang. Chris died of cancer. And Jeremiah gets hit by a car. Just one by one taken from her. Old Job had a bunch of kids. Wham! They're all gone. Just like that. He had a lot of wealth. Just like that, gone. One bad report after another. One report comes in, that guy hadn't got through, another report gets in. This really happened. It really happened to a man. I've got a great wife. She supports me. Many of you men have good wives. All of you do, as far as I know. Boy, she's a strength to me. Job's wife turned against him in a way. Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Then he had his wife to support him. Then you think he's one of the foolish women. Had so-called friends. Listen, you ought to read Job again. Those guys really took Job to task. They accused him of a bunch of stuff. He must have been the worst man in the world when those guys got through with him. I don't like to be sick, do you? I sure don't like to be sick. But how would you like to have some disfiguring disease? He looked so bad, folks. When his friends came to see him, there's a long time before he spoke to him. They didn't recognize him hardly. These little boils on him, he was disfigured. He hurt. He scratched his skin with potsherds. He sat in the ashes. I can't imagine how he must have been hurting and how bad he felt. But even despite that, I didn't quote the text this morning. He had God's faith. See, the devil got beat. And he'll get beat in your life too. Because the devil thought he didn't understand how strong faith is. He really didn't. He thought, I can get this guy, make him curse God. Let me tell you this. Before he died, he did curse the day he was born, but he never cursed God. You say, well, how can he do that? Well, you don't know. What would happen if you got burned in a car wreck? You're just screaming with pain. You might curse the day you're born, too. You don't know what you'd do. I don't know. You begin to eat up with cancer. You get some disease that causes you, that debilitates you, it makes you feel horrible. A lot of people we know, even right now, who are in bad shape, you know, and don't know how they feel. Our bodies are important to us. So Job's body is riddled with pain. Everything's against him. Everything's against him. Look what he said in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, I didn't quote this morning, yet I trust in him. But I will maintain my own way before him. That was the faith that God gave him. You got the same faith God gave you too. But that same Job, look at verse 3:11. Chapter 3, verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the womb? Belly? Why in the world, Lord, even let me live? He had a low point, didn't he? He had ups and downs. Well, let's look at Abraham. Oh, man, he never had left of faith. We call him the father of the faith. Well, I didn't talk about him today, Hebrews chapter 11. He was something else, wasn't he? The Lord said, Abraham, go where? Just go ahead and go. Well, okay. You know where you're going. God may tell you that sometimes. Just go. Lord, just not to do what I tell you to do. I'll let you know. He offered up Isaac. Amazing. How can you do that? He had faith, by the way. Because God had promised him that promised seed and Isaac. And the Bible says that he actually thought God could raise him from the dead. I'm going to kill this boy because God could raise him from the dead. That's a strong faith. Now, I love this verse. I want to be this way. I want to be this way. Over in Romans 4:20, that we ought to pray this kind of faith. We ought to pray this. Abraham had it most of his life. And by the way, when we get older, we may have our strongest challenges. I wonder why. Have you ever wondered why? Lord, this person that lived so good for you and so well for you, Judy, my English teacher wife, so well. Have you ever wondered why that this person has been so faithful? This dear old sister, dear old brother, or why in the world at the end of their life they had such a hard time? We have our harder challenges sometimes when we're older. Abraham had one of the stronger challenges. He was getting to be real old when God told him to offer up Isaac. So we're never going to, don't ever expect an easy life. Just expect a blessed life. We want an easy life, don't we? We may be getting to the point here in the United States that it may not be so easy. I've got this commentary written by Professor Hankel, who I love very much. In fact, I talked to him on the phone here a month or two ago, telling him how much I enjoyed his commentary called The Pilgrim's Manual. He's 90 years old now. He's just a good old guy. He all learned about water baptism. He's sprinkled, but he's still a good guy. And he said in his commentary, we in the United States have had it so good for so long, we've lost our desire to go to heaven. We found our heaven on earth. Our nice cars, our computers, our devices that we love, those cell phones and stuff like that. Our good food we have. And I'm glad of all that, aren't you? I'm glad of all. But we lost our longing to go to heaven, he said. He's probably got a good point there. So my friend, if everything is taken from us, the desire to go to glory, we're going to be well off. God knows what he's doing. Anyway, look, I want to be this way. Over in Romans, chapter 4, verse 20. I want to be this way. He staggered not as the promises of God. He is strong in faith. Isn't that great? You stagger? I stagger sometimes. You say, well, that's good and great about Abraham. But I've got to tell you about Abraham, folks. Even Abraham, good old Father Abraham of the faithful, had some lapses of faith, a terrible lapses of faith. Let's look at number one. Over in the 12th chapter of Genesis, verse 13, he's talking to Sarah, a beautiful wife. I tell you, I got something kind of Abraham. I got a beautiful wife. You got to make the same thing about yours. I know I got one. He said, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. It may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And he did that. She went into another man's harem. He never touched her because God didn't allow that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Can one of you wives imagine your husband doing you that way? What do you think Sarah thought? Man, Abraham, to save his own skin, this man who's strong in faith, had a lapse of faith. He had to have God just like you would have to have God. Well, you say, he learned his lesson. Well, not completely. Lo and behold, he did the same thing again. Can you believe that? Let's just speculate a little bit. I bet Abraham says, oh, what have I done? Lord, have what I've done. He must have had some sleepless nights. I don't know how long it lasted when she was in other guy's custody. And then God, oh, hallelujah. God, thank you. You sprung me out of that. I know I wait, you got me out of it. That'll never happen again. Oops. Still, same Abraham, still needs God like you still need God every day. Fresh supplies of grace every day. 20th chapter of Genesis. 8 chapters past chapter 12. Later in his life. Genesis 22. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So my friend Abraham, so that's the reality part. Let's sum up a little bit now. The good news is your faith will not fail. The other news is that God loves it when you have a strong faith, and we ought to want to please God. God dislikes it when we have a weak faith. Well, please God there. We have the privilege of saying, Lord, increase our faith. And the way that happens is we pray, we read our Bible, we walk in fellowship with God. We realistically realize we may have lapses. But when we have a lapse, what do? We just beg God to have mercy on us, repent, and get up and be strong again. And if we have a brother or sister who have a lapse of faith, we don't run them down and ridicule them and say, oh, you're weak. No, we say, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be in your boat. So we reach down and pick them up. Remind them of God's precious promises. Isn't it wonderful to have the gift of faith? Thank you, Lord, for that great gift of faith. Even the trial of our faith, not just our faith, the trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. I'd like to have a little more gold, wouldn't you? I wouldn't mind having a few more pesos in the bank. I wouldn't mind having I'm blessed so much I don't have to worry anything more, but you know how we are. But God's word tells me the trial of my faith even is more precious than gold that perisheth. There'll be tried with fire, may be found of praise and honor and glory as the King of Jesus Christ. Come on, Matthew.
Well, as we get ready to close, I want to give you a quick water well drilling design education. You can put it in your back pocket, you never know when you might need it. This really comes in relation to one of the first passages that he quoted, which was Satan's desire for us. And this really is true because Satan does not understand the nature of faith. We emphasize that faith is a gift of God. That's very important. It's important not just in its order, because that is the right order. Without faith, without God giving faith, you'll never have it. But it's not just important that we understand faith is a gift of God because of the right order of how it comes. It's also important that we emphasize that faith is a gift of God because it's divine. It's something greater than what we can produce, something greater than what we have as human beings. So it is everlasting, it endures. So here's the education. Water comes out of the ground. Water is produced in aquifers, which are just big, thick layers of sand below the ground. And so the way that you design a water well is that you have to figure out which sand is the best sand to produce water. Because if you have really, really fine sand packed closely together, not much water can come through. But you know sand. If you've ever been to the beach or anywhere else, you look at sand and you get a big handful of sand or a big jar full of sand, it all looks pretty much the same. If I were to tell you to separate the sand, you go, oh my word, what a miserable job, what a miserable job. But it's very important that you understand the nature of the sand that you have, or you cannot produce water. And so what happens is they go, they drill down, and they retrieve these samples of sand, maybe in a jar like, in a glass like that, maybe that size of sand, and you put it in your hand and you look at it, and it pretty much all looks the same. But again, it's vital to figure out what is this sand made of in order to figure out if you can produce water out of it or not. So what they do is they dry that sand. And then they put that sand into a, it's called a sieve. And it is just really simple. It's a series of trays, maybe 10 trays. And those trays each have wire in the bottom crisscrossing. And each tray is a little bit different size openings. So the wire that crisscrosses is a little bit different size openings. The top tray is the biggest opening. And you move on down, smaller opening, and finally the bottom tray is just a tray. It just catches dust. And so what happens is they put those trays with the sand on top in the top tray, and they put it into a shaker, and it just shakes like that for a period of time. And what happens is that sand is being shook like that in that top tray. The sand begins to separate. No, not each grain separates. Each grain stays together, but the different kinds of sand and dirt and rocks and whatever else is in there separate. And then you stop the shaker and you look in each tray and you figure out how much is in each tray. And then you figure out, well, if there's a whole lot in the bottom trays, this is probably not good. This is pretty simple, but it's probably not good sand to get water out of. That's sort of the idea. You find out, what is this sample made of? And that's sort of the idea behind what Jesus said to Peter when he said, Satan desires you that he may sift you as wheat. Okay? So what Satan's goal is, what Satan does, so the story of Job is a great example of that, is Satan believes that he can throw you into the shaker, but he doesn't understand fully what it means for faith to be the gift of God. His goal is to put you in the shaker, shake you down, and he thinks about halfway down that that's where the faith is, and then the you is right down here in the pan, right? And that as he shakes you, he can separate you from the faith. But because faith is a divine gift, it's a divine thing, he can never be successful. So when Christ says, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, Christ is guaranteeing that what he has given you can't be separated no matter how hard you're shaken. Isn't that good news? He's desired to separate, to sift as wheat, but he can't do it. Praise the Lord for the gift of faith.